Chapter 8, Sisterhood of Sins. Amarath, Beatrice? I asked, tentatively. I went to roll over and snuggle close to her, but it was all wrong. The sheets were latex, and I was alone. I jerked wide awake as I recalled where I wasn't. I scanned the room. The voice came from Sylphie, who had alighted on my chest.
Good morning, Amarath.
She said, a cherubic smile on her tiny upturned face. I grumbled and tried to wrap the latex sheets tight around my smooth skin.
We have a lot to do today. Do you truly believe you'll avoid the inevitable, Amarath?
She said to me. I felt a tickling trickle of current-like stimulation on my most delicate areas. I twitched. It increased, bordering on uncomfortable.
You know how this will end, she said in a sing-song tone.
The tickling turned to a faint, pulsing sting.
Fine.
I rocked up into a seated position. My first day of maidship began. A whole new routine that began with donning my maid's uniform, joining my two sisters for breakfast. I was surprised to find a wide spread of delicious-looking food on the table, including pretzel buns, confectionery treats, fresh fruit, and a charcuterie platter. This is quite a spread, I said, examining a tart, which I placed atop my growing plate. Right, said Eri, who was in the midst of delicately demolishing her well-stacked plate. Gally appeared from the restroom. Her hair was glittering today, the holographic effect even more pronounced in the simulated dawn of the station's light panels.
Amarath, today you're going to be shadowing me, said Gally, taking a seat.
Shadowing? Is the stuff that complicated? It couldn't possibly be straightforward with this place.
It ranges quite a bit, but don't worry, you'll be able to do it all quite naturally, I'm sure of it.
I'm not exactly sure about that. I said dismissively. I'm a rockhopper's daughter, not some Martian lady-in-waiting. I grew up headhunting bale jumpers.
I'm aware of that. I don't want to ruin Sylphie's fun, she said, gesturing to the little fey AI who had been perched above us on a cascade of geometric glowing glass.
The fey smiled evilly. It said plainly and simply, "You're fucked." We continued eating her breakfast, while Eri did her best to get me to crack a smile. She'd begun making headway by the time we cleared the table.
Well, I guess that's me cue, said Sylphie, rising to her feet.
She backflipped with an enthusiastic flourish, gliding down to the center of the table.
Amarath, today you're gonna be linked to Gally to learn proper poise while performing your duties.
Gally gave me a subtle wink as she slipped out of the room.
Oh, wait, you
don't mean like yesterday. That was I trailed off, lost in an attempt to bring words to the experience.
Yes, but only to Gally, though the connection will be one way.
Gally returned with a couple of pairs of antenna-like earpieces.
Here you go, dear.
She handed me a pair with a pink trim. She donned her pair. Each receiver seemed to softly grip to her head. I looked nervously at the two receivers in my hands. I picked one up and put it on my ear. I didn't want to lose myself to this. I don't want to lose myself to this. As I allowed the second to click into place on my other ear, I felt something foreign pushing into my mind. It felt like a ghostly touch all across my body, intensifying into something akin to an unrelenting itch, unconsciously pulling at my body. I realized I was matching Gally's exact pose, my hands gently clasping behind my back, my chest thrust up and out. I felt like a puppet on Gally's strings. Before I could begin grasping the insidious nature of this newest development, Gally started walking gracefully towards the door.
Oh, there's one more thing, lovelies. She needs heel training, said Sylphie.
Oh, is that so? Said Gally, turning just enough to eye me.
Yes, indeed.
She flicked her wand, sending two glowing magic missiles on a low arc toward us. As a little puff of projected magic struck, she must have executed some sort of transformation command inside the nanites of my shoes as I felt them canterlever me up until I was teetering on my toes.
You've
gotta be kidding me, I gasped, feeling the control exerted over me by Gallie. Meeting her same dainty high-heeled stance. Before I could come to terms with this new footwear upgrade, Gallie began to walk out the door. I felt myself pulled along in perfect lockstep.
Oh, by the way, the intensity of the link is going to be dialed up throughout the day, Gallie commented as we flowed together down a long hallway, the liquid swish of our latex uniforms pulling on my thoughts.
Do you take some sort of perverse joy in always finding another level to add to this insanity?
Oh, she snickered. It turned out our duties were quite different from the laundry folding, dusting, and sex I had assumed they would entail. The first part of the day, we helped to serve and host a luncheon with several of the so-called ladies-in-waiting of Mara, as well as wealthy allies and supplicants. They treated us both politely. I was surprised to find they were even interested to meet the maids. I found myself curtsying every time, and to my dismay, it soon began to feel quite natural. I had never been one to wear such impractical footwear, yet I enjoyed the dancing grace they imposed on me. I only began to realize how much I was lost to the link when my feet began to ache in their high-heeled prisons, but the pain only made me feel more subservient to my expected role. The shoes were a natural extension of my service, regardless of comfort. A maid is her uniform. I was able to begin to notice that a sort of joyful anticipation in service. I was happy. Each time we waited upon someone, Gallie seemed intently fixated on every little movement, facial expression, and uttered word of our guests, and thus I was too. It felt like being an extension of the house, just a useful appliance for the guests. While they were all polite and kind to us, we were always less. Gallie delighted in each act of service, to think I could be joyous pouring tea for them. I felt like my feelings were slowly being subsumed by Gallie's submissive mindset. Instead of being horrified, I was delighted when one of Mara's ladies-in-waiting, Kiliana, asked me to kneel for her as she reclined on a sofa. Before I knew what was happening, I was asked to take off her shoes, revealing her stockinged feet. I was elated. And when she asked me to massage them, a surge of pleasure checked my breasts and nipples as I leaned forward to begin, first pulling her stockings off her legs one by one, revealing her pedicured feet and delicate toes. It was then that I truly began to realize how much I had physically shrunk. I could barely grasp the whole ball of her foot with my dainty hands. Her skin felt so different, almost velvety to my latex fingers. She was the first non-maid I'd touched since I'd been made a maid. Curiouser and curiouser, I mused, trying to understand what I truly felt. I had rubbed Beatrice's feet plenty of times after a performance, but this was different, my mind tumbling into a sea of tranquil bliss. I felt my world was simply pleasing this woman. Goddess, if this was my first day, surely I was doomed. The day continued with one casual act of submission after another. Later, we served a luncheon for Lady Victoria. She asked us to join her for the meal, which was entirely surprising. Helping another lady in waiting to get dressed for a night in the town, I knelt to lace complex thigh-high shoes onto her legs. My movements were automatic, just like Gallie's. We cleaned a lover's nest as they reclined in the bath, tired bodies intertwined. They hardly even acknowledged our presence. We may as well have been invisible. While we cleaned, my head was crystallized by the blankness Gallie exuded into the link. My movements became robotic. I wasn't going to let myself be anything other than a good maid. Eventually, we were done with our shift. We walked, doll-like, movements a perfect mirror, hips pivoting with each high-heeled step. We flowed. Latex dresses swished and heels clicked in perfect rhythm, minds a blank state on which orders were written. As we walked back to the servants' quarters, however, I felt more aware, less like a worker bee lost in the pleasure of serving. "You seem to be taking to the link like a fish to water," said Gallie, happily over her shoulder. "It's nice, isn't it?" I said dreamily as I followed along behind her. "You know, you looked so enthralled earlier, helping Lady Victoria into those boots. Guess being subby suits you after all, Amareth." Blushing, I said, I just
I rubbed my temples. I feel like I've just been a puppet pulled on strings. Orders? We're all done for today, though, cutie. I think your poor brain needs a rest from being linked. Then, with a click, it was suddenly gone. I almost missed my next stride, but the momentary disorientation subsided quickly. I was surprised to feel whole again. I remembered what we had done vividly with my waking mind. I was horrified to realize to what levels I'd stooped over our shift. What the fuck? I started, only to find my body locking up with a searing lance of pain as the cursed AI zapped me for cursing. My knees buckled and I saw the ground coming towards me. You truly are hopeless, Amarith, said Gally. She swiftly pirouetted, catching me with cat-like grace before I could hit my head. I came to, staring up at her delicate olive features, eyes watery from the pain. I let out a soft moan. And as I tried to recall how limbs worked, twitching slightly in her soft embrace. I don't think I have ever seen someone be punished this much for cursing. I have way too much experience with pain. Doesn't seem to stick. Well, you made it almost a whole day. I couldn't deny that they had already done more to stop me cursing than even my term of service had. I was helpless to this. I was becoming perfect. Don't remind me, I said, awkwardly pushing myself to my feet. I began to slowly walk back towards I knew not what. After a quiet walk, we returned to our quarters. I flopped summarily onto the couch, spreading out into a ruffled sea of latex petticoats. Eerie waited gracefully, lounging across a rolling chair, drawing on a tablet. She somehow managed to pull me into a conversation until food was served. Again, the meal consisted of finely crafted foods appearing seemingly from nowhere. Gally and Eerie both doted on me like a princess for the whole proceeding. Eventually, I found myself in the large, cavernous private bath of the suite with both of them. As we all disrobed, I saw both were unique with very notable differences from myself. Gally wore a piece of metallic jewelry enclosing the head and shaft of her penis. Gally, what is that? I asked, my intrigue gaining the upper hand. Gally blushed furiously as she slipped hurriedly into the bath. It's a long story, she said. The other point of interest was the strange, silvery, rune-like traces that crisscrossed over Eri's entire body, except for her face. They had a faint glow that pulsed almost like they were breathing with energy. Are they just tattoos? I wanted to touch them. So we all settled into the massive tub. Gally recovered from her embarrassment. Well, you know how Eerie mentioned her reason for being here. She trailed off, looking wanly at Eerie. Yeah, I said, feeling the jets pulsing warmly on my tired body. Well, she hid behind her dainty hand, then continued, each of us has our reasons for being in this collection. I used to be Mara's confidant when we were younger, but then I chose to run away with another girl who she quite despised. What a bitter wench, I said angrily. Her eyes said it all. She agreed. Well, she has a way of making our modifications fit our offense, she said, glancing down into the frothy waters. I've been, caged ever since. I can't remember the last time I was touched down there. She trailed off, staring into the bubbles. I reached out my hand and placed it on her soft thighs, submerged under the water's surface. I gave it a faint squeeze. Eerie, who had remained silent, joined in shifting her body towards us. Mara does enjoy a fitting modification. I wonder what twisted gift each mate had received from Mara for the first time. Wait, does that... I froze mid-sentence, contemplating the significance of my own changes. Yes, you were made to order, in a sense, said Eerie, looking into my eyes, her own shimmering silver ones filled with tears. She took my strength. She made me small just to punish me for... I couldn't fathom the pettiness. For being a thorn? finished Gally, reaching her arm around me gently. She was so soft to touch. I yearned to save her, save us. But it was nice to just be for now. I felt Eri reach out her hand onto my other knee, beginning to lightly stroke it. Soon we were entangled in the bath, embracing in a shared moment of catharsis. Momentarily, though, I felt the other two had more in mind, as Gally gently but firmly pushed me back onto one of the tub's built-in seats. She and Eri straddled my petite thighs. I couldn't help but return to the overwhelming sensation of powerlessness of the prior evening. As they pinned me there, I was hoping to protest when Eri leaned forward, planting a soft kiss onto my mouth. Her lips were glossy, soft, and tender, nurturing the warmth that had begun to spill from my core. My protestations became less with each passing moment of sensation. Gally had begun to stroke up and down my inner thighs, sending my heightened senses to new peaks. I was torn. How could just laying there like a pillow princess be so good? I always let these moments, these feelings couldn't be moaned. I was tough. I wasn't used to being pounced on and pleasured. It was hard to believe myself, though, as my body melted more with each passing second. I squirmed helplessly as Eri continued to gently make out with me, yet I was unable to deny the intensity of the sensation. I felt soft fingers teasing at my lips, drifting up and down so subtly that I could hardly tell the jets apart from the attention. It only built the intensity of the pleasure, washing away my thoughts. They gave in. They wanted to cherish me, so I let them. And they continued their delicate crusade. Time had no meaning as I squirmed my hips up against Eri's thighs, squeezing Gally's hand against me. They both seemed amused by my attempts to milk further pleasure out of the scene, giggling softly and cooing at me. I blushed so intensely that I felt lightheaded, swimming in a miasma of beautiful pleasure. Little bolts of lightning dripped from Eri's lips, striking me down into mindlessness. For the first time, I realized that her silvery lips were the same material as her runes, somehow conducting pleasure into my weakened body. I twitched, feeling her nails and fingers joining into the electric cascades as her markings began to pulse in rhythm with her menstruations. Gally giggled, again redoubling her effort to match Eri's augmented abilities. I moaned helplessly. The pleasure was too much. I felt small. They could have their way with me, and I would just meekly spread my legs and welcome it. My core began to gently convulse as my needy moans shifted to wanton mewling. I pushed with all my might to inch Gally's expert fingers deeper, but each time she pulled back, his ear kept me hopelessly pinned. The atomic white-hot flames of orgasmic bliss were always too far away to catch. Harry pulled away from a kiss to stare into my eyes intently. "Do you want to come, little doll?" she asked softly. I wish I could say I said no, but I vigorously nodded, unable to form a word. Gally, I'm not sure if she should, since she can't ask properly, Eri mused as she licked her lips, sending white little flickers of energy across her tongue. Please, I begged. Please what? Asked Eri with a time-honored question. Please just let me The jolt hit me again. Right as Gally let me over the edge, pleasure combined with electric, searing agony. A wash of hellish delight coursed through me as I bucked so hard that only my heels and shoulders still touched the seat. I lifted Eri for a moment before I collapsed into paroxysms of orgasmic pleasure and electric pain. Good girl, whispered Eri as I faded into the bliss.